You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
Thank you for your time, sir. I greatly appreciate your
time. All right, that will conclude the board dire individually of juror 1320. We'll have you return to the jury room with the bailiff waiting for their instructions as we talk to our remaining jurors. Our next juror will discuss individual voir dire with this 1358. All right, thank you for returning. Got a couple of follow-up questions for you here. All right, this court doesn't have at this point any individual questions for this juror in relation to bias or hardship. So I'll allow the state to make any inquiries on those topics, if any, and then the defense, and then we'll move on to the other topic.
And Your Honor, we don't have any questions for this gentleman about those topics either. Thank you.
On either hardship or bias questions, anything from the defense?
The only thing that caused me some hesitation is I'm pretty familiar with accountant's responsibilities. And the likelihood is that if you're picked, we're going to be 4:15 is a very important date for you.
So I work for a private company. I'm the controller. The 15th deadline is for corporate, and again, we have some entities within that that need to be filed. We made a lot of progress in the last week with, I won't use the word anticipation, but knowing that this was a possibility. So I think we're in decent shape. If I am selected nights and weekends through the 15th, I'm good on that front. So I don't believe that that's a hardship. Unless there's sequestered between now and then it could be.
What if you're sequestered in late May or June? Is that going to create any problems for you?
Not at all.
Okay, that's all I had, Jeff. I just wanted to make sure. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, the next issue we'll discuss then with this juror is in relation to your questionnaire responses on attitudes regarding the death penalty. Do you recall going through those questions and answering them last week in the questionnaire?
I do.
Okay, having thought about the questions and responses since then, are those still accurate, or is there anything you'd change about your opinions stated in that questionnaire?
Those are still accurate.
All right, you had an option of either support or oppose were the only choices. And the question was, do you support or oppose the death penalty? You said support. Is that accurate?
That is accurate.
Okay. You also, when given a range of choices, said what most accurately represents the way you feel. You selected a choice that reads, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that still the same way you feel about this?
Yeah.
All right. I will advise you that in this case, it may be necessary for you to actually consider this and make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And you have to be considering this not hypothetically, but as if it would be absolute and carried out in the case. So thinking through that, does that change at all your opinion on those choices?
No.
Okay, one final question I'll have then is, do you believe that the death penalty should be imposed in every case where a murder has been committed?
I do not.
All right, that concludes the court's questions on that topic. I'll allow any voir dire from the state and then the defense.
And Your Honor, I don't have any additional questions for this juror on that topic either. Thank you.
All right, from the defense.
No questions.
All right, juror 1358. You might have set the record for the quickest individual voir dire today, at least. So thank you for your quick and concise answers. We'll have you return to the jury room for further instructions and talk to the remaining jurors.
Appreciate it.
Juror number 1365 will be next. All right, thank you for returning, juror number 1365. The court's going to permit voir dire from the state, then the defense on issues first. Talking about any potential bias or hardship. I'll note this juror has indicated some knowledge and detail of potential facts relating to this case or the case itself. So with that in mind, who's going to be conducting voir dire?
I am, Your Honor.
All right, Mr. Wood, if you'd like to inquire, you may.
Thank you. Juror 1365, looking at your questionnaire, it looks like you do have some familiarity with the facts of this case. Is that fair to say?
I had heard over the years that when the children were found, it was on the news. And then I believe when Lori was convicted, that's when I heard those on the news.
Okay. And did you seek out the news on this particular case? Or
no, no. It's just a matter of the news was on and you heard that.
Okay. So you mentioned that you did know that Lori Vallo was convicted. The judge gave an instruction earlier today. In this case, you will hear about Lori Vallo. She's a part of this case. But the fact that she was convicted, the judge gave an instruction that you were not to consider that. Will you be able to put that out of your mind and not hold her conviction against this defendant?
Yes.
Because they're two separate people. And so you can commit to that 100%.
Yes.
And similarly, just the other facts you've heard about this case. Can you commit to only making a decision based on what you hear in this courtroom?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I don't have any further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Wood. Mr. Pryor.
Thank you, Your Honor. It sounds like all you heard are a few stories on the news. That's about all the exposure you have, right?
Yes.
And you haven't made a decision one way or the other, even knowing that there may have been some issues with the Lori Vallo, correct?
That's correct. I kind of do believe that sometimes the news doesn't necessarily report all the truth either, you know, sensation.
And one of the news, as I understanding, one of the news agencies.
Mr. Pryor, could you talk into your microphone?
I thought I was, Judge. I'm sorry. One of the news agencies was it East Idaho News you were looking at?
It would have been whatever was here.
Okay.
You know, because it's local.
Okay. All right. When you look at page 13 of your questionnaire, there are A through F as the choices, right?
At the bottom?
At the bottom, yes.
Yes.
And you marked number C.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what it sounds like is you're saying that I have not made a decision yet, one way or the other. Is that fair?
It's fair.
But I'm going to look at all the facts and circumstances. Is that fair?
Yes.
I'm not going to take into consideration some of these media outlets that may or may not sensationalize things and give us an accurate picture. Is that fair?
Right.
Okay. And that in weighing all of the facts, I'm not committed one way or the other towards the death penalty. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
And if the judge gives you an instruction that says, yes, I will, you have two choices if there's a conviction for murder. Before I start, I want to make sure you understand Mr. Daybell's here today, and I don't want to imply that he's guilty of this in any way, but we have to talk about this so we get an idea where you stand. You do kind of understand that, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, that if you look at item number C, and then you go down to item number D.
And Mrs. Pryor, we're going to get into the death penalty qualifications here momentarily. Okay.
But in any event, you're going to base your decision just on the facts as you see them if you were chosen at the time of the trial. Is that fair?
That's fair. Any other options?
Oh, thank you very much. Nothing else, Judge.
All right. Thank you. All right. The next topic then the court will go through with you is on your responses to the attitudes regarding the death penalty section of that questionnaire. Do you recall answering that?
Yes.
Okay. And having thought about that, since you did your questionnaire last week, do you still feel like these are accurate representations of your attitudes on that?
Yes.
All right. I will advise you here in this case that it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty in this case. And remember, any penalty you're considering should be considered as if it is absolute and would be carried out in this case. You understand that?
Yes. Yes.
All right. You had a selection here as one of your answers. Do you support or oppose the death penalty? Is the question. You said support. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And is that still your thought as you sit here today about that?
Yes.
All right. One other choice you made out of seven choices in some more detail provided about what most accurately represents the way you feel. You selected choice C that says, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that still accurately described your general thoughts on the death penalty?
Yes.
Okay. Finally, then, with your position on the death penalty, is it your opinion that the death penalty should be imposed in every case where a murder has been committed?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Is there anything then about your views on the death penalty that you think could in some way prevent or substantially impair you from performing your duties in this case if you received instructions about the death penalty? All right. That concludes the court's voir dire on that issue. Mr. Wood?
The state has no questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Pryor, any voir dire?
Yes, I jumped in. I apologize for that, Judge.
That's fine.
I think it's just habit. So we're going to go back to item number 13, A through F, I believe. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, and I don't want to suggest an answer to you. But what I think I'm hearing is that if the judge instructs you that the death penalty is a possible sentence and life in prison is a possible sentence, at this point, you're going to go into this process if you're a juror, and you're not going to make or be favored one way or the other at that point, and you're going to look at both options. Is that fair?
Sure.
And then only after you've reviewed all the evidence and listened to what the state has said, listened to what the defense has said, and then listened to how the judge instructs us, at that point, you'll make a decision based on both of those options. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay, so if there was an option between C and D on number 13 that said, I'm neutral, and I'm going to look at all the facts, all the circumstances before I make a decision in this case, would that be closer to your position?
I think that would be more accurate.
Okay. And thank you for your honesty. I really appreciate you allowing me to spend some time with you. Thank you. Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
Very well. That'll conclude individual voir dire for this juror. Thank you for answering those questions. We'll have you return with the bailiff to the jury room and talk to our remaining jurors. Next up will be juror 1378. All right. Thank you for returning, juror 1378, for individual voir dire. This time, I'll inquire as to whether the state has any voir dire in relation to hardship or bias issues. I don't think there was much at all in the way of bias here on any exposure, but potentially hardship, but we got into that before. Once the state's concluded voir dire, I'll let the defense as well have questions for the juror. Who's going to be conducting voir dire for the state?
I will, Your Honor.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Brooks.
Thank you. Wait, sir. I really just have one question for you. On your questionnaire on page 20, you just made a notation under the hardship section. I'm only worried about my job because I started on January 2nd, 2024. Is that right?
Yes.
This is a pretty new job.
Yeah, and they are willing to work with me. I talked to HR about it.
Okay. So whatever worry you had when you
were... Yeah, I no longer have that worry.
So whatever worry you had... No longer have that worry?
No, I do not.
So then, is it safe to say that as far as you're concerned, if selected, you don't believe that being a juror would be a financial hardship or impairment to your job? Is that fair?
Yes, that is fair.
Thank you. Your Honor, no other questions on this.
All right, thank you. Mr. Pryor?
There are no questions.
There are no questions, Judge.
Okay, we'll next move on then. So, juror 1378, when you filled out your questionnaire last week, there was a section in there called Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty. Do you recall that section of the questionnaire?
You can remind me, but I do not. I mean, I remember answering, but I don't remember what I asked.
Okay. If you'd like to just refer to it, I think we've provided you a copy. You could turn to page 12 is where that begins. So when you answered your questionnaire, right, kind of in the middle of page 12, there's a question that says, do you support or oppose the death penalty? And you check the box saying support. Is that accurate?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And that's the way you would feel about that today as well?
Yes.
All right. And as we go through these questions, I'd like you to consider that in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination about the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And when we're discussing this here, remember, you need to consider that as if it would be done and be absolute and carried out in the case, if that's what the jury determined. You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. On your questionnaire, you also, on page 13, you'll turn there about two-thirds down. There were choices you had about what most accurately represents the way you would feel about it. You selected a choice C, which reads, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Do you recall looking at all those options and checking that one?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Does that still then represent the way you think about and feel about the death penalty here today?
Yes.
Okay. Final question I have then. Do you believe that the death penalty should be considered or imposed in every case where a murder has been committed?
I do not know.
Okay, so if there were instructions to either consider or not consider it, would you be willing to follow those instructions regardless?
Yes.
Okay, then is there anything about your views on that issue of the death penalty that you think prevent or impair you from performing your duties and following the instructions here in this case?
No.
Okay. Thank you for your responses there. That concludes the court's voir dire. I'll allow the state to conduct voir dire and the defense.
Thank you. Sir, for my question, it's based off a response you gave on page 12 of the questionnaire. And you were asked in question section A, how do you feel about the death penalty? And you responded, if guilty and required, I agree, but 100% without a shadow of a doubt, guilty verdict has to be the cap. Am I reading that correctly?
The case.
Yes, sorry. Could you explain what you meant when you wrote that?
When you come to a guilty verdict, you can't be 99% sure. And you have to be 100% sure without any doubt. That's what I meant by that.
So is it safe to say that in your mind, you just are would only be inclined to impose the death penalty if, in fact, in your mind, there had been 100% proof that whomever Mr. Daybell had is guilty? Is that correct?
If he was guilty, yes. And I did not know without facts.
So, sir, then my question would be, if the judge gives an instruction and explains that the standard to determine guilt in this case would be that the state would have to prove beyond any reasonable doubt, is that an instruction, one, that you feel like you understand or would understand? And number two, would you be willing to follow that instruction?
Yes and yes.
So then you wouldn't necessarily hold the state to prove 100% without a doubt that he was guilty?
Yes. He doesn't have to be, like, he has to be guilty to the law, to what the law states.
So you'll follow the judge's instructions on
yes.
The law?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. You know, I don't have any further questions.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Pryor.
Yes. Sir, if I could get you to turn to page 13 of your questionnaire, if you could, let me know when you're ready.
All right.
Okay. On page 13, you marked item number C. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what I'm hearing from you is saying, listen, I am going to listen to the judge's instructions and take those and apply those to this case, right?
Yes.
I'm not going to make a decision right now
or not until I hear 100% of the evidence that's presented, correct?
Yes.
That you have not made a decision one way or the other, correct?
Yes.
That you haven't made a decision whether and you don't favor the death penalty or not the death penalty at the present time, correct?
Yes.
But that decision won't be made until you've had a chance to look at 100% of the evidence, correct?
Yes.
And only if you feel that Mr. Daybell did something and all of the other jurors agree with you that there's a conviction, at that point, you will balance whether or not to impose the death penalty or not. Is that fair?
Yes.
And you won't prejudge or favor one position or the other before that time?
No, I will not.
So if there was a choice between item number C on page 13 and item number D that included a box that would say, I am neutral on this issue and I will only make a decision until I have heard 100% of the evidence and I am convinced that Mr. Daybell may be guilty, would that be closer to your position?
That would be 100% my position.
All right. And thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, juror number 1378, that concludes the individual voir dire.
Your Honor, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes.
I know this is unusual to your court, but there is another issue on this questionnaire that I'm wondering if we ought to, that I had overlooked initially, and it might.
Judge, could we approach on this first?
Let's approach. All right, thanks, counsel. Juror 1378, you can go ahead and return to the jury room with the bailiff, and we'll question the additional jurors, then give you some more instructions after that. Thank you for returning. We're going to next talk to juror number 1379. All right, juror number 1379, thank you for returning. Court's reviewed your questionnaire, and we've determined individual voir dire is appropriate on certain topics, including that of potential bias. There's some information the juror has from media surrounding the case and knowledge of the case, and I don't think we had any hardship issues. So if the state would like to inquire to discuss whether or not there is any knowledge of the case, and in this setting, of course, juror 1379, you can discuss whatever facts or knowledge you have in answering since the other jurors aren't here. So who will be conducting voir dire for the state?
That would be me, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right, Ms. Beatty, you may proceed.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. So I wanted to chat with you a little bit about media exposure in this case. And you had indicated that you saw some documentaries and news about the case.
Yeah.
And I think you had indicated on a question about your knowledge of the victims that you would just, your awareness was just what you'd seen on the news.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Yeah.
Great. Can you kind of describe what knowledge you do have about the victims in this case, specifically what you have heard?
Like I said, nothing more than what's been on the news. You know, just I usually have the news on in the background. So just kind of snippets of the case here and there. But not much more than kind of headlines and news stories.
Okay, great. Would you be able to put aside what you've heard on the news and render an impartial verdict?
Absolutely.
And you'll be instructed during this trial that Mr. Daybell is innocent until the state proves him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. Are you comfortable with that?
Yes, I am comfortable with that, yeah. Sorry.
You would be able to follow that instruction?
Yes, I would be, sorry.
And then you also understand that nothing that you've heard on the news is evidence?
Yes.
And that the evidence is what will be introduced at trial?
Yes.
Thank you very much. I have no additional questions for this jury, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. As to potential bias, Mr. Pryor, you can inquire.
And I appreciate you being forthright about the articles, the news, and all of that stuff. And based on what you've seen on the news articles and everything else, you haven't made a decision one way or the other at this point, have you?
No. I know that the news is just a very brief skim of, you know, what's known. I understand that that's not.
And something that you put in your questionnaire really drew my attention.
Okay.
Let's go to page 19.
Okay.
Down at the bottom, you have a sentence that starts with, I believe.
Yes.
Would you read that to me?
I just said that I believe strongly in the due process of law.
And in the due process of law,
That means that you listen to all the evidence, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And that you don't take into consideration or anything regarding the stuff that some of these media outlets or these podcast people who are making a living on something unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't take any of that stuff into consideration. We just base it on what you hear in terms of what's been presented. And you'll be able to do that, right?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you, Judge. Nothing further.
All right, thank you, Mr. Pryor. There's another topic we'll discuss next then. So juror 1379, in filling out the questionnaire, there was a section in there called attitudes regarding the death penalty.
Yeah.
And that was a section beginning on page 12. Do you recall thinking about the questions thoroughly and answering those last week?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And are the responses you provided still the way you feel about that today?
Yes.
All right. In going through these questions about it, then, I would like to advise you that it may be necessary for you to actually make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty in this case. And remember, when you're considering that, you need to consider that as if it would be done in absolute and carried out in the case. So as you consider that, I'll note that when given a choice, you selected that you support the death penalty when asked if you support or oppose it. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
Okay. You've also selected a choice when you had a variety of choices about what accurately represents the way you feel. You picked the choice that says, I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. Is that still the way you feel about that death penalty?
Yeah, I'd say that's accurate. I'd actually, I kind of struggled between C and D. I remember it felt like I had to have an absolute, but either way, if it is instructive, then I believe in following the instructions that the court provides, so.
Okay, and so you had considered maybe leaning towards generally opposed, but following the instructions and putting aside your feelings?
Yeah, I kind of wanted a neutral in there. Like, I'm neutral, but I would follow it. I believe that it's necessary in certain cases, and I will follow the court's instructions when it comes to part of it.
Okay, so given the way you feel about it, then, do you believe that the death penalty should be imposed or considered in every case where a murder's been committed?
I don't think it's appropriate in every case necessarily, but I think based on the circumstances and you know, you're talking about especially egregious cases, that is probably an appropriate option.
Okay. Final question from me then. Will any of your views on the death penalty you believe either prevent or substantially impair you from serving as a juror in this case and following whatever instructions the court gives you on the death penalty, whether it's to consider it or not?
No, I don't think that I'd have any problem with that.
Okay, that concludes the court's voir dire for this juror. Any voir dire from the state?
I have no additional questions for this juror, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Pryor.
And just briefly,
yeah.
I appreciate you bringing that up between C and D. I've spoken to about that before. And what I gleaned from your questionnaire, especially the comment on page 19 where you said, listen, I'm a strong believer in the due process of law. I saw some of your hobbies with the Ducks Unlimited and some of the other stuff. I think that you probably have a very patriotic sense to you. Would that be fair?
Yeah, and I think the first day that we were here, Judge Boyce likened this to serving in the military. If you hadn't served in the military, this might be the most patriotic thing you can do. And that really struck me because my husband did serve in the military. So I'd say we are very patriotic. And so, yeah.
And it is all of our civic responsibility. And I appreciate the fact that you struggled with the choice between C and D. So I'm going to ask you again, just to reiterate, there's you're not going to make, you haven't made up a decision at this point.
No, I don't.
You haven't, and as far as guilt or innocence, you understand that we have to ask you about these questions, even if we believe that
belief from the defense is that Mr. Daybell is not guilty, we have to talk about this because it's important. It's a potential issue. The judge is going to give you a choice of the death penalty or not to impose the death penalty. And at this point, you're neutral on either of those.
Right. Yeah, I don't have a preconceived notion about what the end is going to look like.
And at this point, before you make that decision and make that important decision, you're going to balance what the prosecutor tells you.
Yes.
What the defense attorney in my office and my what I'm going to present to you. And then you're going to follow this judge's instructions. And you're going to remain neutral until you've had a chance to make your own decision. And you're not going to follow a recipe. You're going to do it based on your view of the facts and circumstances, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Thank you, Judge. I have nothing else.
All right. Thank you for returning for the individual questioning. 1379, we'll have you return to the jury room, and we'll talk to our remaining jurors and then we'll give you further instructions. We'll next talk to juror 1389. All right, juror 1389, thank you for returning. We've got some additional questions for you here on Board Dyer. One of the things we're looking at and can discuss here openly since other jurors are not around is whether or not your prior knowledge of this case might serve to cause you to form some sort of an opinion. I would note that in looking through your questionnaire, you seem to know quite a bit about the case. Is that accurate?
Only what's been presented in the media up until I was called for jury duty.
Okay, and let me just try to clarify that. Did you just sort of watch in passing what was reported, or have you actively gone out to, for example, watch any documentaries or look this case up on any commentators on YouTube or anything like that?
Well, only passively. Basically, anything that was a media push on various news aggregated websites, or my wife had the television going, for example, Channel 7, they've covered it extensively. It's kind of hard to miss when they have that as their headline news for the night.
Okay. And sure. And again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with knowing about it, knowing as much as you know. That's what we need to determine. A lot of people do follow the news and get interested in stories. That's why they are in the news, is because they're interesting sometimes. The one response you had in your questionnaire was whether or not you formed an opinion regarding the defendant's guilt or innocence, and you said possibly, but only because some of the victims were young children. So on that issue of whether or not you've possibly formed an opinion, and we'd like you to be as honest as you possibly can here, with this defendant here in this trial, can you tell us if you do believe you have formed some opinion about his guilt?
Well, given what was on the news, I think it'd be extremely difficult not to have already formed some sort of an opinion. It just makes it more impactful that small children were victims in this case. And it really hits you kind of hard. Something happened to those children. Who or what did it, I don't know. Whatever's been reported.
Okay, and to follow up on that, what may think or someone else, as you sit here, what is your opinion at this time?
At this time, I honestly don't know. I have to go in maintaining that I don't know. The impact is significant, yes. But if I were to, if somebody were to ask me to make a judgment right now, this moment, I have to say I can't.
All right, but it's fair to say you're not completely without some opinion here. It does, and again, we can openly discuss this here. So if you are leaning one way or another, which way are you leaning right now?
Right now, just based on the news coverage, I have to say I'm leaning towards guilt.
Okay, and I do appreciate your responses. This is what we need to discuss. I'll let the state follow up with any additional voir dire if you'd like, and then the defense.
Your Honor. Sorry.
Thank you, Your Honor. Juror 1389, on your questionnaire, and again, there's no right or wrong answers here, and so please feel free to just tell us exactly what you're thinking. On For page 19 of your questionnaire, your question 10D, it asks if any of your exposure to the media has caused you to form an opinion about Mr. Daybell's guilt or innocence. And you said possibly, which is pretty similar to what you just said. And the question I want to look at is that 10E, would you be able to put out of your mind what you've read or heard about this case and render an impartial verdict based solely upon the evidence in this courtroom? And you did mark yes, and you said possibly. So what do you mean by possibly?
Well, basically, I'll refer back to what's already been covered in the media. It predisposes you to lean toward this defendant is either guilty or not guilty. That's just how it's been presented in the media. If it were to come to trial, and I'm sitting here, I would have to set that aside and, bring your A game, bring everything you've got to show me that, whatever you heard in the media is either wrong or it's correct.
So, and that brings up an interesting point. When you say, show me what the media has said is wrong or correct, do you think that at some level, as you're sitting here listening to either evidence from the state or from this defendant, that you're going to be referring back to what you heard in the media?
It will be at the back of my mind, but again, there's going to be one side saying one thing, the other side saying something to either counter or present another facet. Those are the two most important sides to look at right now. It's only if there's some sort of nebulous gray area, and I don't think there will be, but let's say there were at that point, then I would go back and look at it. This is what I heard. This is what I saw. This is what I was told.
Okay. And thank you so much for your honesty. We really appreciate it. Your Honor, based on Juror 1389's responses, I would move to excuse this jury for cause.
Okay, so you're moving to strike for cause based on bias. Thank you, Ms. Wood. Mr. Pryor, do you wish to conduct any further or dire or simply advise the court whether or not there's a stipulation on the motion?
Well, Judge, there is no right or wrong answer. Judge, I concur in that opinion, but to avoid the court wanting its own analysis, the court's going to accept the stipulation. Otherwise, I can go through some analysis and further voir dire to support that my belief. There should be, maybe some consideration of the cause.
All right, and I'm inclined to agree with the strike. So, based on that, so Juror 1389, first, thank you so much for coming back today and taking the time to fill out your questionnaire. We appreciate your honesty today. We're trying to get the best, most impartial jury we can through this process. And with your knowledge of the case, I would find that perhaps the burden's been shifted improperly towards a presumption of guilt instead of innocence. And despite best efforts, I'd be concerned that Juror 1389 may have that preconceived notion. So we are going to excuse you as a juror. And again, thank you so much for your service coming in today.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You're welcome. All right, next up will be Juror 1392. While they're on their way in, counsel, maybe I'll just inquire. I don't see any type of bias or hardship presented at all in the questionnaire. Either side have any questions you think you'll have on that?
Judge, I just have one. And it was towards the end where he talked about the fact that because of his employment, not a lot of media coverage.
And
there was a concern there.
I've been here thinking not a lot of
media. In terms of blocking the media coverage.
Okay, I'll allow that. Is the state going to have any individual hors d'oeuvre?
Just one question on part 401A. Response was made.
Okay. Juror 1392, thank you for returning for your individual hors d'oeuvre. This time I'll allow the state and the defense to conduct any individual hors d'oeuvre on the issues of hardship or bias.
Yeah, Your Honor.
Yes.
Sir, I just have one question for you. On your questionnaire, on page 7, under part 4, paragraph 1A, there was a question, do you feel that a defendant should be required to testify? And you marked X.
as in yes. What did you mean by that?
I might have misread it. I don't say they have to testify. I think I misread it wrong or misinterpreted it.
Fair enough. So would it be safe to say that if the judge instructs you that if the defendant chooses not to testify throughout his trial, that you shouldn't hold that against him, you're willing to follow that instruction?
Yes.
Thank you. I have no other questions, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you for the defense.
I may have been mistaken, sir, but I thought in your questionnaire there was some reference that you would not be able to block out the media because of your job position. Is there an issue with that?
I don't watch any media or do social media.
Maybe I made a mistake. Judge, if I could just have a follow-up.
Go ahead.
Nothing further, Judge.
All right. Thank you, counsel. So, Juror 1392, there is one additional topic we're going to cover with you. In filling out your questionnaire, you went through one section that was called Attitudes Regarding the Death Penalty, and that was on page 12 to 13. Do you recall thinking through those questions carefully and answering them in the questionnaire?
I remember answering the best of my ability that day.
Okay. Let me advise you that in this case, it may be necessary for you to make a determination in regard to the imposition of the death penalty or some other penalty. And remember, when you're considering that, you need to think about it as if it would be done or absolute and carried out in the case. So with that in your mind, you selected a choice. First of all, when you were asked, do you support or oppose the death penalty, you said support. Is that still the way you feel as you sit here?
In the right circumstance, if somebody is proven guilty without a shadow of a doubt, and I don't have a problem with the death penalty at all.
All right. You also selected one choice out of seven you had about what best represents the way you feel, and you said, and this is a quote written in the questionnaire, that I generally favor the death penalty, but I would base a decision to impose it on the facts, law, and instructions in the case. So given those choices you had there, is that still the way you feel about that?
Yes, basically I'm just saying I don't have a problem with the death penalty as long as the defendant is found guilty on reasonable doubt.
Okay. And is it correct for me to say then, well, I'll ask you just the question, do you believe then that given your support of the death penalty in certain circumstances, do you think it should be considered or applied in every case where a murder has been committed?
No, not every case.
All right. Finally, I'll just ask you, is there anything about your views on the death penalty that you think would, for some reason, prevent you from serving or substantially impair your ability to be a juror on this case if you were required to follow instructions about the death penalty?
No.
Okay, that concludes the court's questioning on that topic. I'll allow the state any additional voir dire and then the defense.
Just one question I did, sir. Not to mince words, but you had mentioned you would consider the death penalty if the state proves beyond the shadow of doubt. I'll just ask, would you agree to follow whatever instruction the judge ultimately gives you about the proof standard and providing proof beyond a reasonable doubt? Will you follow his instruction when you get that? Okay. All right, thank you. You don't have no more questions.
All right, that's correct.
And sir, we have to talk about these issues because they're very important issues. And I don't want you to assume that because I'm talking to you about this, that I believe that Chad's guilty or that we're not here for some purpose. But if I understand you correctly, that in the event there were to be a conviction to the charges, it's not an automatic in your mind that the death penalty would be imposed. Is that correct?
Not necessarily, I guess. It'd have to be without a shadow of a doubt that he was guilty, and if the death penalty was handed down, I have no problem with that.
Okay. So when you say without a shadow of a doubt, we're talking about two different things. You understand that the judge will give you instructions that in order to convict him, the evidence has to prove that he's guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You understand that, right?
Yes.
And then we would go to a sentencing phase. And I guess what I'm hearing from you is that at the time of sentencing, although he may have been convicted of a beyond a reasonable doubt, it's going to need to be no doubt in my mind whatsoever before I agree to subject someone to the death penalty. Is that fair? Okay, so could I have you turn to number 13? And your choice is C. Is that correct?
At the bottom, I circled this.
Right. And in reading C, what I'm hearing is that, you know, I don't have any problem with the death penalty as a penalty if it's supported by the facts and circumstances. Is that really what you're saying?
That's how I understood it, yes.
But if you look down to D, the only difference is you're saying, listen, I generally oppose it, but if it's supported by the facts and circumstances, I'll reserve judgment. Is that the way you would read D?
Yes.
Okay. So if there were one between the two of them that said, I'm neutral on whether or not to give the death penalty, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to the prosecutor's evidence, I'm going to listen to the defense's evidence, and I'm going to follow the judge's instructions, and I'm going to remain neutral right up until the point that I make my decision. Would that be closer to what your opinion is?
100%.
All right, Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right, juror 1392, then that concludes your individual voir dire. We'll have you return to the jury room with the bailiff. We've got one more juror to talk to individually, then you'll return for further instructions. All right, our last juror we'll talk to at this point is 1424. All right, juror number 1424, you're returning for individual voir dire. We had some additional questions for you that you may talk about in as much detail as you want or as requested by counsel or the court about your prior knowledge of this case. The court does need to conduct an individual voir dire in relation to potential bias. I don't think there was any hardship issue. So you do have some knowledge or information about the case from prior reporting on it, is that correct?
Yeah, just general knowledge. So I haven't really followed it closely for two, three, four years. I had court TV at one point, and so I'd seen some of that reporting.
Okay, apologies. Read one of your responses. You said the media portrayed him as guilty. The media has been wrong before. A concern we have, including me and the parties, would be whether or not he may have already formed some type of opinion about the defendant and his guilt or innocence with what you know in the case.
I haven't.
All right, let me allow the state some additional voir dire, and then I'll allow the defense as well.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, you indicated that you had watched some proceedings in this case on court TV, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And you indicated that you hadn't really followed this case for the last couple of years.
Correct.
But during the time you were watching news on this case, it sounds like you did get some knowledge of the case, is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was, I think they were speculating still.
Okay. You described learning of a religious aspect to the case.
Yes.
And when you were asked what you knew about the defendant, Chad Daybell, part of your answer was that you had learned about a, quote, trail of death. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. You described one of the victims in this case, J.J. Ballow. You were aware that he had special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And you described him as sweet-natured. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think it was his grandfather who might have said that.
Sure. So based on that experience, watching court TV, watching the news, learning about a trail of death and some humanizing facts about these victims, do you think that contributed to your sense that you would lean toward guilty that you put in your questionnaire?
I think if I didn't know anything further, that's the way I would lean, yeah.
Okay. So when you filled out your questionnaire on page 19, there were a couple different places where you wrote that you were leaning guilty just at this point. Is that's fair to say? Okay. And as you sit here today, are those answers still accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I would move to excuse this juror for cause. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Pryor.
And sir, there's no right or wrong answer, okay? Obviously, we have to evaluate Judge. I'm going to stipulate to the excuse.
Okay. The court's considered the responses here. I'll also agree there's a concern the burden may have shifted here where the juror's statement, if we didn't know anything further, that's what he would think, which may require more than his due process afforded to Mr. Daybell in this case. So, Juror 1424, thank you very much for your service and for taking the time to fill out your questionnaire. Due to some prior knowledge of the case, we'll continue to look for completely impartial jurors, and you will be excused with the sincere thanks of the court. All right, we could have the remaining jurors who were asked for cause brought back in, and then we'll conclude with this group.
All right, please. Counsel, here you are.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury who have returned here, we're dealing with a lot of numbers of jurors in this case, so I'm trying to give everyone a chance to make sure we're all tracking the same. If you don't mind, the first thing I could have you do is just please hold up your red card again and do that for a moment, and we'll all confirm who's remaining. Okay, thank you. You can put those down. Having considered this remaining group, then, does the state pass this small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor.
Does the defense pass this small group for cause?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you've now been passed for cause. We are continuing to question additional groups of jurors until we reach the necessary number to have the attorneys exercise their peremptory challenges. At this time, then, you are going to be released for the day. You'll be instructed to contact the jury commissioner on the way out, Randy Rutland, who will give you further instructions on when you're going to return. While you are waiting, and some days may pass, please follow the court's previous instruction to not do anything to look up this case, research the case, find out about the case. If you see the case reported in the news, etc., please try to avoid any exposure to that. Don't discuss any of the facts of this case or your jury service with anyone else. However, you may talk to friends, family, or employees, employers, etc., about the possibility of your service and when that may occur. Just avoid talking about the details of the case. That way we can maintain your impartiality and have you return for the next step of the proceedings. So thank you for the time you've committed so far. That will conclude your service for today. And again, you'll be instructed on when to return. With that in mind, is this small group allowed to be released today from the state?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
From the defense?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Followed, please rise.
This way, please.
All right. Doesn't leave a whole lot of time for lunch, but we've got our next group scheduled at 1:30. I understand that might start a bit late if we need to make arrangements and have lunch, but everybody try to, I guess, shoot for that time as much as you can, and we'll be in recess until then.
Session. The Honorable Judge Stephen Boies invited.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right. We're back on the record on KCR 22-21-1623. We are continuing through small group. Board Dyer with the second group here ready. Before we go on the record to Board Dyer with those jurors, I'll note that the state's here represented by prosecutors and defense, as well as the defendant present here. We also have attending members in the courtroom of the public, and the court did have a concern raised and wanted to address that in this case on March 28th, the court issued a non-dissemination order, also commonly known as a gag order. Under the terms of that order, counsel has been prohibited from discussing this case with the media while this jury selection process is occurring, in order to try to maximize our efficiency in obtaining impartial jurors. The order is directed towards counsel. However, it also does address if counsel is approached by or attempted to have communication with the media and to report that to the court if it occurs. Nothing at this stage has occurred, but the court is advising and admonishing members of the media in this case that the attorneys are currently subject to a gag order and are not permitted to talk to you about the matter while this jury selection process begins. And I'll remind counsel that if anyone persists or that occurs, you think outside of the scope of the order, please report it to the court, and the court will then address that individually with any media member that is trying to elicit a non-compliance with the order. So any questions about that or the court's order from the state?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
From the defense?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that in mind, then, I believe we're ready to continue with Board Dyer in this next group. Is the state ready to have the jurors brought in?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Defense?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
Okay. So the member for that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're going to have a slight delay here before the jurors come in. Okay. Counsel, we do have one extra juror in this pool as well that was either late or FTA yesterday. Juror number 1112. And they'll be included in the group. We'll see them on one end or the other of the front row, wherever the bailiffs think is appropriate. And I'll have them hold up their card numbers so we can confirm where that juror is seated. It probably makes sense to seat them on the far side, to the right of 1623.
And Your Honor, I would indicate on the chart we were given, we had a placeholder. It was just for the other juror number that we brought in this morning.
Yeah.
So okay. That most likely just be changed to the 1112.
Yeah, I think we'll go ahead and put them on that side. So we would have seven on the front row. While we're waiting, also, counsel, on our juror affirmations, there's a couple of notes, and I'll share these with counsel when the time is appropriate, but just note that we've got jurors number 240 and 265. There's something else we'll address with them individually relating to their juror affirmations and some additional information. I'll get you copies of these affirmations so that you can see what they've noted on there, and we can address those in our individual board hour with those jurors.
All right, please.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Please be seated.
Yeah. 11, 12, so the front row following it.
Okay. I will confirm. Thank you. Okay. We're on the record on KCR 22211623, State of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. I'll note that the defendant, Mr. Daybell, is here present with his counsel, Mr. Pryor. States here as well represented by the prosecutors, and they'll be introduced individually here shortly. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. Is the defense ready to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. At this time, then, just to confirm, ladies and gentlemen, of the jury that have been brought back, you're all seated now. For us to just confirm on our seating charts, if you wouldn't mind, please take those red cards you have and hold those up, and then we'll confirm our seating charts.
I think I have the front row on third.
I think for purposes of going forward with the time we have, it might be easier to just get them rearranged. So if you're in the right place, 1112, and the rest of you, if you'd please stand up, we're going to have you change seats.
Yes. So all rows or?
No, just a front row.
Just okay. Any? Okay. 1623?
Yeah, you can walk around.
Then 1624, 1640, 1747, 1747, 1758, and the last one, last year, 1761. And then this row needs to be one half around. It's going to be 1793.
Okay, so we'll have the back row shift as well then.
Judge, I have 17.
Let's see, can we have the back row raise their cards? Yeah, we've got that inverted from the seating charts also.
So I need you to stand up. 1793, come on around. Then we've got 240. No, 250. 240, come down to the second seat. 5265. Oh, your card. So 1793, 240, 250, 265, 311, 328, then 428, 512, 527. And 6517. Now I got him here. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Appreciate that. thanks for moving around. We're tracking you based on your numbers with the charts we've prepared. So we'll do another confirmation here at this time. If everyone would hold their red card number up, please. Okay, thanks each of you. I think we've got it lined up with our chart at this time. Before we begin this portion of the board, Dyer, is the I'll ask the state on the defense. Is there any objection to the manner in which this jury panel has been recalled and seated today?
No, Your Honor, thank you.
No, Your Honor, thank you.
All right, thanks, counsel. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for returning this afternoon. You've been recalled as prospective jurors in the case now before us. I'll reintroduce myself and our court staff at this time. My name is Stephen W. Boyce, and I'm the district judge for Fremont County, Idaho, in charge of this courtroom and this trial. Our court clerk today is Shannon Holstein, seated to my right, and she's taking a record and minutes of these trial proceedings, as well as will administer oaths to you as jurors.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.